Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
It's game day week, bud.
It's game day week.
Is that a thing, game day week?
It's
game
week. It's Brazil. The Chiefs play
football.
In Brazil.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you and me.
Oh, yeah.
Fantasy football.
We're matched up.
Match up week one.
And the early projections are we are less than 1 point away from each other.
El loser, and, el champion.
Oh, I don't know. Because, I mean, you handpicked your team.
That doesn't mean shit.
And your prediction, your score prediction is the same as mine, and I let the auto draft handle my entire draft.
So for people that have no idea what we're talking about, some of the guys decided they were going to do a fantasy football league.
Yeah, we got a little trade wins.
Which is cool. It's fantastic. I hadn't played in like 8 years. I was like, eh. There were three people that were in and out. Auto drafting.
Yeah.
Like I had this long list. I was like, I'm going to pick this person, this person, this person, this person. Every time a fucking auto draft came up and yours was one of them twice, was like, boop. I was like, I was going to pick that. God damn it. Every freaking time.
Yep. Well,
I should have just picked the auto draft.
Yeah. But
I say that.
Mine picked the Vikings defense. Like, come
on. Viking defense is good.
I mean, technically, they're rated better than your defense for this first matchup.
You are.
I mean, it's not a lot, but...
I'm going to pick up another defense. I'm not starting Baltimore's defense against Buffalo. Come on the road, stop. I'll pick somebody up. It'll be interesting to see what happens this year.
Yep.
I think that you intentionally didn't do it so that if your team sucks, you can cop out and be like, well, the auto draft got me.
No, because you could still... You got waivers, you got...
I'm just saying.
Free agents.
Like it's a 12-team league.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of free agents out there, buddy.
Yeah, true.
I think it's a cop-out.
Well, somebody's going to realize Kelsey's not going to have that great of a year, and they're going to dump him.
Dude, do you
know?
And
then he's going to crank up the thing.
I didn't realize last year he only had 3 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Catches.
Yeah. Last year he
catches,
sucked.
Not passes.
Stat-wise.
The over-under on him touchdowns this year is 4.5.
Yeah.
This is maybe his last year.
Yeah.
I'm taking the over.
You think he's going?
I'm putting $1,000 on the over.
I mean, if I were him... I'd go all out. Like, what happens if you blow your knee? Big fucking deal. It's your last year anyway.
You're rich as fuck.
Right.
Those guys don't worry about that.
Right. And word on the street is he's got a pretty good-looking girlfriend that might be getting serious here pretty soon.
I don't want to get onto a whole thing here, but he's an idiot.
Oh, they're two peas in a pod.
I'm sure they are two peas in a pod.
Brought to you by Pfizer. can you imagine all the clips of their wedding? Brought to you by Pfizer. Here's what's going to happen.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift performs the halftime show. Chiefs win. They hand the Lombardi to Kelsey.
Kelsey
announces his retirement right then and there.
Okay.
They stage a quick wedding.
Stop.
And
no.
And then announce they're pregnant. And scene.
No, stop.
The Cinderella story for the NFL merging with the Swifties.
I don't. I'm trying to be really careful what I say here. I don't think even with all the money she has, she's not unattractive. But man, do you really want to live your life like that? I don't think I could. I don't think personally I would be happy, is what I'm saying.
What do you mean?
Like being drug around a concert. He is going to be her bitch.
Well, he gets to travel all over the place.
From now on. Yeah, as bitch in transit. I don't think I could do it, man. I don't think.
ChatGPT doesn't think that Taylor Swift is going to perform the halftime show.
No shit.
They think Jay-Z appears the odds-on favorite.
Stop. Didn't we just have to listen to that stupid Beyonce bitch do one a couple years ago or something? Kendrick Lamar's was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Well, and the story he told through the music was pretty good, too.
Stories through music is dumb, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I love storytelling writing and performing.
Well,
but when it comes
to
music,
the performance,
I don't know.
Like, he just sang his songs, but it was the performance of it. Yeah. That was pretty good.
I don't know. We're getting completely off topic.
We are.
I say that. We're only 5:30 in. What do you want to talk about?
Today is the rehash of our original episode 9. Today's episode is 209, and we're rehashing the last and final core episode, number 9, which was titled Wake Up, Do Work, and Repeat. And so to get you up to speed on those core episodes were covering the 6 core adversities you need to overcome to start your business successfully. And the episodes 201 through 209 is a rehash of those 2.5 years later. And so we are going to rehash everything that we talked about in the original episode 9. And that is, okay, you've started your business, you're off and running, you're doing the thing. What now?
Evaluate performance, make adjustments, and improve.
Yeah. Did I say wake up, do work, and repeat?
Yeah, you did.
That was episode 8.
I was wondering. Yeah. I just kept going. I just kept letting you talk. I was like, maybe he'll recognize what he did.
Nope. Just
that's okay, buddy.
Wrong thing in the brain. But
do you
yes.
want me to beep it out? In the episode, beep.
No. Okay. No, I need to evaluate my performance right there. I need to make adjustments, and I need to improve.
We're not going to talk about the week that's already been, and it's only Tuesday.
Yeah, I know.
But
it's been a week.
It has been a week for you. You got a lot of shit going on, dude.
But, evaluate performance, make adjustments, and improve. So we've got everything out and rolling. We're running. We're doing business. We're meeting customers. We're making dollars. We're working on our marketing and everything else. Now what do? Well, we have to constantly, 24/7, this never ends. This is your life for the rest of business, is evaluate how you've done, analyze what's working, what's not working, make some adjustments, and then continual focus on improvement. And so how we talked about this in the first episodes was really kind of how to take the information that you're getting from your key performance indicators and using that information to grow your business. And we paralleled like a football quarterback and how he accepts criticism to move forward. And so I want to talk a little bit about like how we do this, because on the original show we talked about the difference. We talked about accepting like constructive criticism.
You know, we talked about too those KPIs and that information, and then how it pertains to the goals that you've set for yourself, and that was a good ruler for you to judge how far along you've been or your success rate or however you want to say it. And I think that that's still a good way to judge yourself if you're not really good at stepping outside of your own vision and looking back at yourself saying, what am I doing right? It kind of gives you a physical way to look at how far you've come, how's your week to week, how's your last month been, is to measure that against your goal for 6 months or your goal for a year. You know, you can break that 6 month goal down into a 3 month or a month by month, and it actually gives you a measuring stick to, am I going to reach that 6 month goal? Am I going to reach that that year long goal?
Right.
You know, it's just, I didn't realize this when we talked about, it in the original episode, is that it's very hard for people to evaluate where they currently are and then to give themselves self-criticism based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only recently, maybe not recently, but in the last 6 months or year, been able to kind of see that because of the guys in Tradewinds.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's hard for them to look back and say, why am I failing? Why am I succeeding? Like for me personally, it's easy because I'm super hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I track everything, like to the point where it's nauseating, right?
Yep.
But for a lot of people, I think it's very hard for them to do that. And so if you can actually, you know, make a step-by-step process as far as, you know, tracking your sales, your conversion, your leads, all of that, and then break it down so that you can go month by month to whether or not you're going to meet that goal or not is really helpful. And yeah, I think it's something I missed for sure in that first episode.
Yeah.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Yeah, the biggest challenge I think that people have with criticism is they confuse criticism and judgment. And if I,
yeah,
if I care about Dave and I see an area where he could improve, I will offer him criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, hey, it worked, but if we do this, it could work a little better. If we do this way, we'll make fewer mistakes, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I didn't care about Dave, and then I'm casting judgment on Dave, and I would skip all of the beneficial sides of it, offering the help,
yeah,
and I would just say, you are careless.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's a big difference between the two. They overlap a lot, but a lot of people, when they get upset receiving criticism, it's because they feel like it's judgment and not criticism. It's not judging who you are as a person. Criticism is judging the factual actions that you did, right? You converted
Correct.
5 out of 10 calls. You can convert better. You could convert 7 or 8, right? Whereas judgment is like, you suck at conversion and like do better.
Yeah,
right.
And I think, you know, to your point, you know, when you first started on that little tangent there, I immediately thought he's talking about people giving judgment or giving criticism.
Goes
right?
The other way too.
But it goes the other way as well. I mm-hmm. think a lot of times people want to judge people and then blanket it as criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are taking criticism want to name it or call it judgment or take it as judgment. I think on both facets, whether you're giving it or receiving it,
yeah,
we need to be, and you and I have talked about this a lot, you need to be open-minded. And even if it is, say Mitch is giving me some criticism and I take it as judgment, I need to be more open-minded as, even if it is judgment, how can I take it as it's only criticism and help myself grow as a person or
yeah.
a salesman or whatever it is that we're talking about.
Yeah. One of my mentors, and we've referenced him on the show before, Jacob Stoller. He talks about like, nobody can make you feel awkward except for you. You are the one that allows somebody's words or actions to feel awkward.
Yes.
So
yes.
Like, let's just say I'm not that eloquent with my words. And I'm trying to give David constructive criticism, but it came off like judgment.
Yeah.
David is the one who decides. If I'm honestly not judging you, and I think I'm criticizing you in a good way, and I don't have my heart in a bad spot, ultimately you're the one who decides to be offended by it or not.
Yeah.
And so it's a great perspective to say, like you'll catch people say, well, now it's awkward. No, it's not. It's just you made it. You chose to allow it to become awkward.
Yeah.
They didn't intend for it to be awkward, right? Criticism focuses on behavior and actions or work, not the person as a whole. Judgment focuses on the person's character or worth or identity rather than just their actions. Okay.
Yes.
And so, as you're coaching guys, if you have a team of guys, make sure to not go on to the judgment side of the fence. Go on to the criticism side of the fence. Do not, there's a, How to Train Your Dragon.
Never saw it, but I know what you're talking
about. It's a great movie. Great movie, especially for kids. A lot of great lessons in there and everything else. And there's a young little pipsqueak in there. His name's Hiccup. And
that's a great name for a pipsqueak.
Yeah, yeah. A little like accident boy that's klutzy and never can do the right thing, and he ends up being the hero. But his dad is this big, burly Viking guy that like runs the armies and leads the nation and everything else. And of course, he's like the opposite of his dad. He's a little pipsqueak. And so his dad makes a statement to Hiccup, and Hiccup says, "You just gestured to all of me." And that, like, that's a judgment, right?
Yeah.
It's not criticism. And my wife and I joke around about that all the time. Like, "You just gestured to all of me."
You two have a really weird relationship.
We are weird.
You are weird.
But the biggest thing with judgment is there's very little room for improvement. It's a final or absolute statement. You are this person. Whereas criticism is like, you're a great person. You made a mistake in these areas and we can fix them.
Yeah.
That's different. And so if you're listening to this show and you have a lower self-esteem, you are going to perceive a lot of criticism as judgment because you're very hard on yourself.
Yeah.
And so being able to stop and recognize, is this criticism or is this judgment, is huge. And the way to recognize what is what is, what's the person's intent? Not necessarily the words they used, but what's their intent? If David came to me and I was screwing something up with the podcast or Tradewinds, his intent is not to bash me.
No.
His intent is, we're better than this, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so I don't ever think Dave would judge me.
No.
Except when he says, my wife and his relationship's weird.
That is judgment. But it's not judgment based on my personal thoughts. It's judgment based on things I've actually seen.
Yeah. But understanding the difference between criticism and judgment is huge. But that's how we evaluate performance and make adjustments and improve. It takes criticism, either from within or from outside sources, it takes criticism to understand your performance. You don't want to be an egomaniac and be like, "Oh, I performed perfectly." No, you didn't. Like, no, nobody ever does.
No one does.
You can perform well and still not perform perfectly.
Yeah, and I think what a lot of it stems from, too, is most people are very judgmental.
Yeah.
Like, just, I'm talking about just society in general,
yeah,
right? And so we automatically, or people will automatically put up fences.
Yep.
And when someone is criticizing them as to help them improve or be better, they automatically take it as judgment.
Yep.
And they don't listen to what's being said.
Yeah.
You know, and I've caught some flack for this in the past. I think one of the greatest changes in my own personal life was when I realized that I do not give a shit what anyone else thinks.
Right.
And it sounds horrible, right? Like, why would you say that? Why would you act that way? And it's
it sounds horrible.
No, but that's how people, I think, take it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't give a shit, as in the fact that when someone is judging me, I do not give a shit.
Right.
And so it allows me to actually take what they're saying and decipher what is the truth there. Are they judging me because they're a piece of shit?
Right.
Are they judging me because they have low self-esteem? Are they judging me because they're jealous of where I'm at? Or is it actually criticism and I could do better in that area?
Yeah.
It has really allowed me to, quote unquote, put a filter in place for when people are, you know, just, this is going to sound very generic and a cop-out, but when people are just talking to me and I'm dealing with them on a daily basis, it allows me to read them better. It allows me to be better at sales. It allows me to give, you know, great advice to people. And I shouldn't say great advice, honest advice to people of what I actually think is happening and what's going on.
Right.
You know, I think it's been one of the greatest assets that I've developed over the last maybe 10 years or so. And another way to say it is, don't take everything everyone says to you as a personal attack.
Right.
Because it's probably not.
Yeah, it absolutely isn't. There's another very common saying in business or in entrepreneurship or in any personal success out there is that you'll never receive criticism from somebody doing more than you. And in other words, the loudest critics are the ones that are doing less than you.
Oh, always.
And you see this all over the place, right?
And
the
guy with no judgment calls.
Right. The guy with zero athletic ability who's, you know, 80 pounds overweight and his Cheetos are crumbed all over his belly.
I love Cheetos.
Is watching football saying, I could have made that catch. And it's like, bro, I think the only thing you're catching is an extra 5 pounds this weekend, right?
Yeah.
But you'll also have people in your industry. Maybe it's another company owner that's in your industry that is throwing some shade your way. Analyze where they're at in business. And if they're ahead of you, maybe that shade is to be intentional and is to be criticism, right? Depending on your relationship with them. If you don't know them that well, it's impossible to criticize somebody that you don't know well. It's impossible to have a level of care for them to criticize them if you don't know them well.
Ah, that's kind of a judgment call.
Well, what I'm getting at is criticism comes from knowing what was right or wrong, analyzing how far away from right or wrong they were, and then some sort, you may not have the answer, but some sort of reference or guidance as to how to improve, right? That's criticism.
Yeah.
Judgment is you suck. And so...
Yeah, judgment is, why would you do it that way?
Right.
That isn't going to work. And right. Then you just walk away.
Right. We talked about this morning on our coaching call. But there was a recent podcast with Tommy Mello, Lance Bachman, and Brad Lee. And they were all three on a podcast. I don't know whose podcast it was because I think they all three have podcasts. But
everyone's got a podcast.
Yeah.
We got a podcast.
Tommy Mello was, and for those that don't know, he owns A1 Garage Door. It's the largest garage door company in the United States and probably the world. But the first time he was talking to groups of garage door company owners, he asked everybody, you know, do you guys have a $10,000 door and opener package? And nobody raised their hands. And he's like, do you guys have a $5,000 door or $8,000 door and opener package? And nobody raised their hands. And somebody had the balls to speak up and be like, man, that's crazy. How can you sleep at night? Okay. Now, this is a guy who is way down on the totem pole. I don't know his business situation, but he's attending a Tommy Mello seminar to learn, right? So you only learn from those that are farther along than you. So understandably, he's farther behind the path than Tommy.
Yeah, he's trying to figure out how sales work.
Yeah, and he says, how can you sleep at night? And Tommy stopped. Like, he was almost hoping for a comment like
that. Of course he was.
And he says, what do you mean? Like, do you guys, is all your fleet like new trucks? No. Does your fleet have like nice, good-looking wraps on them? No. Do you provide uniforms for all your guys? No. Do you provide your guys insurance? No. Do you provide your employees the opportunity to buy a home and put their kids in private school because you're paying them so well? No. Tommy says, well, I'd flip that around then. How can you sleep at night? And ultimately what it comes from is everyone's perception is a little bit different. But in the role of business is to make profit and to make better lives for your employees and everything else. And the only way to do that is to evaluate performance, make adjustments, and improve every day, day in and day out, 24/7. Yeah. And there are a lot of people that start a business just to replace their job. And that's not what you want, because when you start a business just to replace your job, you have 10 times more stress and headaches and risk and about the same amount of money. Let's say even you made twice as much money working for yourself than you did for somebody else. It ain't worth the 10x risk and stress.
Sometimes it's not.
Right. And so, you know, that guy was making a judgment against Tommy Mello. Tommy Mello responded with criticism to him. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's how it'll happen a lot. The guy that is farther down the path will get a lot of judgment calls. He'll get a lot of judgment complaints towards him. But the guy that's farther down the path is in the best position to criticize anybody behind him on the path.
And I think, like, just to use that as an example, that person that brought up how can you sleep at night, how he obviously has an issue with criticizing himself.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And to the point that it's, I am not even going to look at it from any other point of view other than my own situation right now. It's almost as if people will put blinders on and say, no, we are head down. We're moving forward in this direction. I'm not even looking to improve the business.
Right.
I'm not looking to grow my profit margin. I'm not looking to have more trucks and more employees. I am happy where I'm at. How do you grow, or how do you, like Mello said, how do you look yourself in the mirror and have respect for yourself if that's all you're, why are you, what I would have said to him is, why are you even at this seminar? Are you trying to grow? Are you trying to get better?
Right.
How can you honestly say that you are trying to grow or get better if you can't look yourself in the mirror and say, how do I grow this business so that it is a flagship in my area? So that everyone knows who I am.
This shit doesn't happen by osmosis.
No, but people think it does.
Yeah, I've attended a lot of seminars where people think that just being in attendance will make them smarter.
Oh, or God, make TradeWinds group.
Make their profits better and everything else. And ironically, just this morning in TradeWinds, I posted like, because I was going through our attendees, like our members list, current and former members. And I'm like looking at all the former members and I'm like, I hardly even know that guy's name. I hardly even know that guy's name. I hardly know that guy's name. And so I made a post about it in our private TradeWinds group today that was like, hey, I'm realizing a pattern here. Most of the people that are former members of TradeWinds never engaged in the group. So much so that they never engaged. I don't even know who they are. Couldn't even tell you what they look like. Meanwhile, there's all these other members of TradeWinds where I could tell you exactly what they look like. I could tell you their favorite drink. I could tell you their personality. I could tell you if they're pretty straightforward or if they bank on humor and, you know, all these things. And
those are the people that are aggressively trying to get better.
Right, right. They'll post, so like Google, your Google business profile, it'll give you a little report every month as like to your Google profile activity. Yeah. How many clicks, how many links to your website, how many directions, you know, all those things. These guys are evaluating performance and making adjustments and improving so hard that on their own, they will post their little report card every month in Google. And then everybody else posts theirs and, you know, oh, what did you do to increase calls and, you know, all that stuff. Those guys are running the right playbook, right? The other guys that don't even read those posts, don't even see them, don't make their own posts or whatever, those are the guys that are going to struggle to see the benefits that can come from it because they're not engaging themselves. And if you're not engaging with the group as a whole, then you're probably not applying all of that accountability to you individually either.
Well, and let's be honest, those are the same people that are not in their community groups as a one-man show. You know, they're introverts. They don't want to put themselves out there, and then they wonder why their call volume's low.
Right.
You know,
nobody can buy from you if they don't know who you are.
They don't go to B&I groups. Mm-hmm. I mean, we go back and forth on B&I groups. If it works for you in your area, be a part of it, but you got to at least try.
Right.
You know, they just think, and this isn't necessarily about TradeWinds, guys. This is young business owners in general. They think that being in business is just going to antiquate to people calling them for service. And it's just not where we're at anymore.
Right.
People have to know who the hell you are.
I mean, I got news for you. If you own a business, you are a content creator.
In this, man,
you don't have a choice not to be.
In the last year, so our event we had in, when did we have that? March 1st.
March.
And our last event, and this last 9 months, really, it has been a dramatic shift in the way that home service businesses have, like you just said, have to be content creators.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to be.
Yeah.
People have to know who you are. They have to know, and not only do they have to know who you are, they have to know what you stand for, what you like, mm-hmm. that you're a good person that they would trust and have in their home.
Right.
It's literally been a light switch in the last 9 months. And those that will not embrace that are going to be left behind.
I'd say it's been a light switch in the last 5 to 7 years, but now in the last year, it's becoming painfully obvious who yeah. subscribed to the idea of becoming a content creator and who didn't. Because yeah. the guys that didn't, you don't even hardly hear of them anymore. And when you do, they're usually griping about how they can't find good help and customers suck and they can't find customers that are willing to pay good fees and all of that stuff. And it like you have to build all of that. You have to build, like, a customer doesn't know you are a top tier company unless you find a way to show them. And a lot of guys are wrong and they think, well, they'll see that when they see my work. They won't choose you to do the work unless you show them ahead of time.
Yeah, you can't get the cart before the horse, dude.
Right.
They're not. How are they going to see your work?
Right.
If you're not doing work for them. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
They don't know what top tier work looks like. How many big HVAC and plumbing companies have you seen using ads that look beautiful, but the technician in the ad is doing the way wrong thing? Like, he'll be next to an outside air conditioner with a freaking pipe wrench.
Yeah.
You don't use a pipe wrench on an air conditioner, right?
I mean, if you're changing out a train compressor, yes, but...
Or it'll be a guy in, like, a red hat and blue overalls with a little bit of scruff on his beard, but he looks like a model. You can tell he's not a plumber.
Yeah.
And he's holding a pipe wrench to, like, a chrome P-trap.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, those customers don't know that that's wrong. But the imagery says they're clean. They're courteous. They're attractive. They take care of themselves. They do plumbing. It's obvious. They got a pipe wrench near a P-trap. Like, so...
I think tradespeople, for sure, get lost in that amalgam of bullshit.
Yeah.
Because they see plumbing every day.
Yeah.
They see shitty plumbers every day. They yeah. see bad HVAC techs every day. Customers don't.
Yeah.
It's a lie that people tell themselves.
Guys love to show, like, there's two pictures that we see all the time in the plumbing groups. One is a Home Depot advertisement where the P-trap is backwards. So it's extra deep. Okay.
That's what she said.
There's another one where it's a tub waste and overflow assembly, and the T that connects the two is upside down. The throat is going up instead of down. And these guys love to say, like, oh, see these guys at Home Depot, they don't even have it figured out. Look at this, they gave a good picture. And it's like, dude, yeah. Home Depot did more revenue today. Your local Home Depot did more revenue today than you'll do all year. I'm yeah. pretty sure they got it figured out.
Yeah. And hey, it may not be right, but it's probably going to work. And 15 homeowners did that backwards and got their shit done, and it's working.
Right.
Like, you can be a nitpicker all you want.
Yeah.
But the people with the money.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck.
Right. And I used to, it's very hard at the level I'm at.
Careful.
In business is, well, what I'm saying, at the level I'm at in business, meaning I know how to start a business, I know how to lead a team of people, I know how to market, I know how to advertise.
Yeah.
Like all of that. It's becoming very difficult to have good conversations with the guys that are 1 to 3 years in the industry and think they know it all. And they're picking out pictures like that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, bro, as soon as you realize the customer don't care about the photo, like, you're hanging up on a photo and you're missing the boat over here.
Yeah.
Like, customer don't care about the photo. They care about how you make them feel. And that picture, even though it might be wrong, makes the customer feel good.
Yeah. And so they're going to call them.
They're going to call them.
Not you.
Right.
Well, that's why I don't advertise. What?
Right.
Don't be a dumbass.
I'm going to pause for a minute, and I'm going to talk about Field Pulse here
for a
second.
Hey, are you going to actually get something on time today?
Yeah, we're going to try to get it earlier in. So one of the ways that you can evaluate performance, making adjustments, and improve is by good feedback from your CRM. Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. advanced features for your CRM, for estimates and invoicing, for scheduling and dispatching, for good, better, best proposal options, for maintenance plans. It'll even run your price book and the Tradewinds price book, which should be your price book, by the way. Plus, FieldPulse integrates with the softwares that you already use today, like QuickBooks, Online, and your desktop. You can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you do work currently. By simplifying your day-to-day operations, FieldPulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. FieldPulse has earned a 4.8-star rating across over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FieldPulse.com.
Thank you.
Yeah. How about that? So
not making it tough on me today.
When I do want to drop a little teaser here that's going to come up in the next episode or two. Well, maybe two or three. But guys, we're not blowing smoke with this process and these core adversities and these core episodes. As we mentioned in the very first show, we created this podcast because I started our business off very well with a lot of momentum, and it's grown since day one. By the time this show airs, it will be announced that I have sold my plumbing company. Today, we are closing on the company today.
Boom.
And so, and I'm not selling out. I'm moving on to bigger and better things. I'm going to be able to focus a lot more of my energy on Tradewinds and everything else.
Well, you're holding a little bit of partnership in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I haven't sold the whole thing. I'm still retaining a percentage of ownership. But this stuff works. And not only does it works well enough that 5 years and 2 months ago, there was not a plumbing company in existence where my company is. And in 5 years and 1 month, because we literally Monday was our 61-month birthday. So we opened August 1st.
I was going to say, yeah. He's not going to say 60. That's not right.
Yeah. No, we were 5 years and a month old on Monday, and we are closing on the sale of our company today. So in 5 years, we created a company from nothing, built trucks, bought inventory, got shops, got employees, got market presence, got over 1,200 five-star Google reviews, and also got the attention from local business entrepreneurs and investors that wanted to create an ownership group and seize the opportunity of catching what is ultimately still on the ground floor of our company. And so we'll talk a lot more about that later, but if you're questioning whether we're just giving you lip service or not, absolutely not true. This stuff works, and it works insanely well, and the company creation and sale is proof of that. So
agreed.
How we take all of this information and move forward is literally like every day you need to have a moment where you audit yourself and you say, how could I have improved performance in that area? And let's just say you go to a sale, you go to a sewer estimate and you sell them a new sewer for 12 grand and they buy it. You didn't do everything perfect. Could you have gotten 12.5?
Maybe.
Could you have gotten 13? Could you perform the sewer replacement in a better, more profitable way? Could you have gotten an extra referral from that customer? Like, there is literally no end to how can I improve. Now, obviously, if you're doing work and you make a mistake and you flood a house or injure yourself or damage the customer's property in some way, scratch their floor, something like that. Obviously, those evaluations of performance and adjustments you need to make, those are pretty obvious. But where a lot of people go wrong is they don't have the discipline to evaluate their own performance, make adjustments, and improve when things are going right. The most profitable month we ever had in our plumbing company, I didn't even get excited. I mean, I recognized it was the most profitable month we've ever had, but all I saw were opportunities where it could have been more.
It was bridled enthusiasm.
Yeah.
I remember.
It was like, man, it was great, but it would have been cooler if we didn't have this damage thing that we had to fix, or it would have been cooler if we didn't have to buy Mrs. Smith a new you know, thing over here because we broke it when we were trying to install it.
Yeah.
Or it would have been cooler if I could have done all of that while spending a little less on marketing, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
I think a lot of that too is, I don't think it's that people necessarily don't see where they can make improvements. Two examples. Mm-hmm. If your business is extremely successful, right, you still know that there are extra things you can do. You see them every day. Where people separate themselves from the rest of the market is in the action they take to actually make those changes. I think a lot of times people get stuck in their ways, or they get lazy, or they use the excuse, I'm too busy. We're not going to, you know, all the guys are happy in the format we're at now. I'm not going to change all of those things. And so they just don't do it, whether it's out of laziness or stuck in their ways or whatever.
Right.
I think what really separates the winners from the mundane or the non-go-getters, I don't know the word to use, is just the fact that they refuse to take action in the area of improvement. They know it's there. They see it constantly. It's a day-to-day thing.
Right.
And they just don't take the steps to actually change the action.
Right.
You know?
And I think a lot of that is just the comfort.
That's probably true.
America, being the land of opportunity, makes underperformance a very comfortable place to be. And the scariest place, if you're looking at like low class, middle class, or upper class, the scariest place to be is middle class.
I would say lower middle class, but yeah, you're right. They also say those are the happiest people too, so it's hard to argue, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day, but yeah.
Yeah, the lower class, they got nowhere to go but up. The middle class, you're at the peak of the tax brackets where you're paying most of the taxes for America. So you're keeping less of your money. You have a lot of the stress because one characteristic of the middle class is their paycheck to paycheck, or largely paycheck to paycheck, right? But you have enough money to live comfortably. Now, that doesn't mean you can buy whatever you want. That doesn't mean anything else, but like, you're not worried about where the next meal's coming from. But at the same time, you're spending way too much money on food.
Yeah.
And I'm not judging. And like, I'm just as guilty of this as anybody. I'm not judging anybody for it. Right.
Yeah. You know what? Yes, you are.
Yeah.
That's a good, yeah, you yeah. are. You spend a lot of jack on food.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my wife and I waste a lot of money. That it's like, it's comfortable. It feels good. But yeah, I recognize it.
Yeah.
But it just is what it is. Right. And that's part of why it makes it the scariest place to be, is because you have enough money to enjoy some of the nice things. And you can ride it from nice thing to nice thing, like ride those highs.
Yeah.
But it's the ability to have the discipline, especially when it comes into your business, to have the discipline to stay focused and get that business to the vision that you had set from back in episode 201 or episode 1.
Yeah, my brother says it all the time. And I had never really thought about it until recently. He's been saying it more, just with the way the economy and everything is. He's like, do you realize that everyone in this country, even the poor people, live like kings did in England back in the day? Like, you're eating, you could eat steak for every meal.
Yeah.
And be homeless, or almost homeless.
Yeah.
He's like, that's why people don't do anything.
Yeah.
He's like, that's why there's no drive.
It's too easy to not to.
It's too easy to live like a king back in the day. And we all want to act like we're, you know, these are his words. Everyone wants to act like we're so much above those people that lived back then. No, we're not.
And
he's like, no, we're not.
Part of that is if you're money motivated or outcome, like short-term outcome motivated, that's going to be you. But if you got a good vision and it's a beneficial vision, if you focus more on the vision than you do on the money will show up, right? Yeah. But if you focus on the money, then you focus on living paycheck to paycheck. You focus on trying to show off the money to people that don't care or that you shouldn't care about. You know, like I don't, when I buy a vehicle, I don't buy a vehicle because I want other people to think I'm cool. I buy a vehicle because it serves the purpose I need it to serve. And I like it, right? That's not to say I don't overspend on a vehicle from time to time or whatever the case is there.
No, you get what you want.
Yeah, I get what I want, yeah. Right? There's a lot of people out there that buy the car, and then they spend more time showing it off to other people than they do enjoying it for themselves. And it's like, did you buy the car for yourself, or did you buy the car for everyone else to think you're cool?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's kind of a catch-22 because you feel good when, like, if say you buy the car so everyone else thinks you're cool, right?
Right.
And you're driving it around. I mean, if it makes you feel good because those people think you're cool, it's kind of the same thing.
I mean, it can be, but is like, where's the satisfaction coming from? Is the satisfaction coming from you owning the car, you driving it, you feeling it, you hearing it?
Yeah.
Or is the satisfaction coming from somebody else envying you for a split second?
Yeah. The only thing I see when I fly by people is like my middle finger's up out the window.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I care. I give no fucks what anyone else thinks.
Well, so like there's a guy here in town that drives, I'm sure you've probably seen it. It's a purple Lambo with like yellow accents around it.
No, I
haven't.
It's
like a bluish purple.
Uh-uh.
The title company on 7 Highway, it's in there. But I know the guy. I've never met him in person. No, I've never met him in person, but I know him through Facebook. And it's like, okay, if I ever met that guy in person, he's got several exotics. Like, nice. I would never fan out over, oh my gosh, you've got exotics. I envy you. I'd be like, which one do you enjoy the best? You know what I mean? That's the, like, if you're gonna splurge on anything, do it because you want to, not because you think other people want to see you do that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if you do splurge on something because you like it, don't let people judge you and bring you down for it.
Right.
You're doing it for you. You earned it.
Right.
If you want to have a live scope and your buddy says you're a cheater, who gives a shit what he says? It doesn't matter. You bought it for you. You're enjoying it. It right. Doesn't fucking matter. Who cares?
Yeah, very, very similar with my boat.
Yeah.
When we were boat
That's
shopping.
A good example.
Yeah, when we were boat shopping, I initially was trying to find a boat that would fit in my garage. And I found one. And because the our types of boats, they have removable swim platforms on the back and they have a breakaway trailer hitch, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I found one and I go check it out and I go stand in it and I'm like, nope, don't like it. It's too small.
Yeah.
You put four people in that boat, maybe six, and people are cramped. And I'm like, no, I'm not buying a boat for, like, I'm buying a boat because I want to have as many people enjoy this as possible. And not because, like, I want to be the host. I'm not a very good host.
No, but
I'm pretty boring.
No, you are boring. But the fun part for you is letting other people enjoy it.
Right, right. Letting other people who may not have the opportunity to enjoy it, right?
And it's like Boys Night Out tonight. You guys having Boys Night Out tonight?
Yeah.
Taking the neighborhood kids surfing?
Yep. Yeah. And like, that's why I bought it. And so, like, whenever we go out and do tie-ups and everything else, it's like, come one, come all. We bought a giant boat so we don't ever have to tell anybody no. That's my enjoyment out of it. I didn't buy a big boat so that, like, everyone can see, oh, he's got a big boat. Oh, must be nice.
Must have a little. Oh.
Like, honestly, I don't know if you can, I have a hard time telling the difference between the 23 footers and the 25 footers. But I mean, there's a massive difference when you get inside them, for sure.
Yeah. And, I couldn't tell you the difference.
Like, I don't judge other people for their boats either. It's just, I wanted a big one because I wanted to host, like, people.
Yeah.
I wanted to be able to take people out. So,
perspective. To kind of wrap up that part of it, perspective is a real thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and the reason we say all of that stuff is because you will get judgment for your business.
Oh,
it'll come from everywhere. It'll come from people that have never owned a business. It'll come from people that have owned two businesses and bankrupted them both. It'll come from people that have that work for you. It'll come from family that maybe they're business owners, but they're in a completely different sector. Like, who knows, right? Yeah. And the idea is, don't let them say what they're going to say. Say thanks for the feedback or whatever, but then stay the course. Like, you know what it takes to move needles in your business.
Yeah.
Evaluate that performance, make adjustments, and improve. Don't worry about criticism from the public. Don't worry about criticism from anybody unless they're farther down the path than you are.
Yeah. Don't give a shit what they say.
Right.
Take everything that they said. Can I use any of this as constructive criticism?
Right.
But who cares?
Yeah. As
if
I was
you can't,
growing,
roll on.
As I was growing my business, I was not taking advice from people that had businesses doing less revenue than me. I'm sorry. I figured out how to do that much revenue profitably. I need to take advice from somebody else. And I wouldn't mean to him. I wouldn't be like, yeah, whatever, peasant. Like, you were twice as big as you are. I'd be like, thanks for the feedback. I'll consider that. I appreciate you. Right. Yeah.
And if let's be honest, if someone had given you a nugget that you hadn't thought about, you'd have been like, okay.
Yeah. You never know where good little nuggets come from.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot to evaluating performance, making adjustments and improving that hinges on, are they judging you or are they criticizing you?
Yeah.
And so making sure that they are making sure you're aware of what position they're coming from will help you take that feedback and improve.
Evaluate performance, make adjustments and improve, man.
Right.
I will say this one last thing and you're going to wrap us up. It is a constant thing that you have to do every day.
Yep.
Every day. Where could we have been better today? Where did we fail today?
Yep.
Where can we improve for next week? What helps, I think, a lot of guys is, like, you have a weekly meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It almost forces you to evaluate, adjust, and improve because you need to be having those conversations with your employees. So it makes you go look at the numbers.
Well, my guys.
How can we do better?
My guys are
asking. Telling them.
Yeah.
Well, they're asking because you set the precedent.
Yeah.
Not because they would do that on their own.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you have an issue, I guess my point to that would be, if you have an issue, how do I evaluate my numbers and, you know, how do I have talks with my team? Make yourself have a weekly meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you dive into the numbers and come up with something to talk about to your employees to make them better.
Yep.
Which in turn makes you better.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold yourself accountable to that last step and you'll do well in business, especially if you've done all the other steps. So next week, our intention is to talk about how we get so many Google reviews. That's a process that hasn't changed a whole lot. Google reviews are waning in their effectiveness a little bit, but they're still very, very valuable and still very needed. So next week, we're going to focus a little bit on that, and then we're going to go back to our regularly scheduled programming where we're talking about different styles of things that you can do to improve yourself as a business owner. So a lot of times we're taking current situations and topics that are going on and kind of analyzing them for here's how to envision this or act upon this as a business owner. So until next week, guys, we will see you later. And don't forget, we got that bombshell episode coming up here in a few where we're going to talk about this whole process coming to completion on the far end of things. So until next week, guys, we'll see you later.
See you.